Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Welcome, Deep Divers, to another really fascinating journey. Today, we're diving deep into the life and career of someone who really is what you'd call a multi-hyphenate.
Definitely. Someone doing many things and doing them well.
Exactly. We're talking about Jimmy Tingle. And our source today is just a single Wikipedia entry, but it's incredibly comprehensive. It really paints this vivid picture of a life that, you know, weaves together comedy, acting, activism, even business and politics.
Yeah.
So the big question we're tackling is, how does one person manage all that, master so many different areas, but keep sort of a consistent voice?
That's a great way to put it. And our mission, really, is to go through the source carefully. We're not just listing things he did.
Right.
We want to pull out those key insights, look for the patterns, maybe those aha moments, you know, what connects all these different things he did.
Understand the why behind it all.
Exactly. Help you understand not just what he achieved, but why it actually matters. And maybe, you know, see how combining different skills can work.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Where does it start? For most people, it probably starts with comedy, right?
That's his core identity, yeah. American comic, born April 9th, 1955, Cambridge, Massachusetts.
So that makes him 70 this year.
Wow.
And still going strong. But his early exposure nationally, it wasn't just like accidental. It seems pretty significant, pretty strategic.
Oh, absolutely strategic. That's what's so interesting. He wasn't just, you know, playing local clubs. Pretty quickly, he became the American correspondent for David Frost's show, The Strategic Humor Initiative.
On PBS and the BBC. That's a big deal early on.
Huge deal. Yeah. And it showed he could work across cultures, humor-wise. Then he did two seasons on 60 Minutes 2. Remember that? On CBS.
Filling the Andy Rooney spot. The commentator.
Exactly. Yeah. That humorous commentator role. Very distinct kind of wry observations. And he also did work as a satirist for MSNBC. So these weren't just comedy gigs. They really cemented him as someone commenting on society, on politics.
And then there were all the late night appearances. I mean, the list is long. Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn, The Tonight Show, Larry King's Weekend,
yeah.
Late Night with Conan O'Brien, The Late Late Show with Tom Snyder, the American Comedy Awards.
He was everywhere.
Plus his own HBO special. I mean, that's a serious lineup. It suggests he wasn't just doing one kind of comedy.
Precisely. And that's the key insight, I think. These platforms weren't just about laughs. They were about building his voice as a social satirist.
Right.
He understood his audience. You know, he didn't water down his message, but he knew how to tailor it. Being on Tough Crowd versus The Tonight Show or 60 Minutes 2, they required different approaches.
Shows real versatility.
Yeah, remarkable versatility and a conscious effort, it seems, to reach different kinds of people with what he had to say.
So after making such a mark with comedy, it looks like he started exploring other ways to, I guess, express his views. I have to say, when I looked at the source, I was really surprised by how much acting he did, not just cameos.
That's a great point. It suggests he wasn't just sticking to the stand-up persona, right? He was looking for other ways to tell stories, maybe explore characters.
So what kind of roles are we talking about?
Well, okay, in film, he was a TV talk show host in Chris Rock's movie, Head of State. That was 2003.
Okay.
He played a neighborhood bartender in Next Stop Wonderland back in 98, a priest in Boondock Saints in 99, a restaurant owner in By the Sea in 2002.
Quite a range. Yeah. Priest, bartender.
Yeah. And he even co-starred in a PBS travel special, America with the Top Down, way back in 92. So it shows, I think, a real interest in the craft of acting, working across different genres with different people, not just commenting on life, but portraying it.
But then there's one role that really jumps out, seems different. Starring in that documentary, Damned in the USA, the one that won an international Emmy.
Ah, yes. That's pivotal. It really shows another layer, doesn't it?
Seems much more focused on social issues.
Exactly. It's described as a powerful doc about art censorship, produced by Channel 4 in the UK for their Without Walls series, and also Channel 13 in New York.
So, serious subject matter.
Very. And doing that, plus appearing in those Showtime, but seriously, documentaries, you know, the ones tracing satirists from Lenny Bruce onwards, it really highlights his commitment, using his art for deeper social commentary.
So it's like humor wasn't just an end in itself.
I think that's right. It suggests he sees humor as a tool, a way to maybe disarm people, make difficult topics approachable, start conversations that might not happen otherwise. He seems to deliberately pick projects that blend humor with, you know, serious cultural or social stuff.
Making the art do more than just entertain.
Precisely. Making it a vehicle for something more.
Okay, so he's got comedy, TV commentary, acting, documentary work. But his career wasn't just on screen. He made a big impact on stage too, didn't he? Especially with his one-person shows.
Oh, absolutely. And doing solo shows, that's a whole different level of connection and maybe vulnerability, right? Just you and the audience.
Takes guts.
For sure. And his theatrical career was pretty distinguished. He wrote and starred in 4 different one-person shows, all directed by Larry Eric.
Any standouts?
Well, the most famous is probably Jimmy Tingle's Uncommon Sense, The Education of an American Comic. Mm. Got stellar reviews, ran for 9 weeks off Broadway in New York.
Wow.
And then in Cambridge at the Hasty Pudding Theater, it became the longest running one-person show in their history.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And it went to L.A. too at the Coast Playhouse in 98. Got him nominated for Best Male Solo Performance by the L.A. Weekly.
So real critical acclaim, not just popular.
Right. And he followed that up with Jimmy Tingle and the Promised Land in 2002 and Jimmy Tingle's American Dream in 2005. That last one actually is apparently being made into a film now.
Interesting. So this dedication to live solo performance,
yeah,
it seems like a way to really control the narrative, dig deep.
I think so. Allows for more nuance, maybe a more direct connection than a quick TV spot.
And he wasn't just performing, right? He won a Best of Boston Award in 2001 for stand-up, but then he did something else.
Mm-hmm.
He actually opened his own theater.
Yeah. Talk about a shift. From performer to, well, producer and owner.
That seems like a huge leap. And risky.
Definitely bold. Shows vision beyond just his own performance. He set up Jimmy Tingle's Off-Broadway Theater in Somerville, Mass.
Okay.
And from 2002 to 2007, he wasn't just like the headliner. He was the owner, the main performer, and the producing director.
Wearing a lot of hats.
A lot of hats. And it wasn't just for his stuff. The source says they put on over 200 productions.
200.
Yeah. Comedy, music, theater, TV and radio tapings, political events, even kids' shows. Became a real community hub, it sounds like.
So more than just a venue.
Much more. And it got recognized, too. Voted Best of Boston for Theater Alternative by Boston Magazine in 2007.
Wow. So that really cements him not just as a performer, but as a successful producer, a cultural entrepreneur almost.
Exactly. It shows a strategic mind, understanding how to build a platform, not just stand on one, creating a space for others, too.
Okay, so just when you think you've got a handle on him,
right.
Comedian, actor, documentarian, theater owner, he adds another layer, academia. What's the story there?
Right. Another twist. It really speaks to this intellectual curiosity he seems to have.
So what did he study?
Well, he first graduated back in 1977 from Southeastern Massachusetts University. It's UMass Dartmouth now with a degree in history.
History, okay.
But then much later, he went back to school. Earned a master's degree from Harvard Kennedy School in 2010.
Harvard Kennedy School, the public policy school.
That's the one. And not only did he get the degree, he was actually chosen to give the English commencement address that year.
Seriously, that's a huge honor at Harvard.
Massive honor. Yeah, it says a lot, doesn't it? This pursuit of higher education, especially in public policy, suggests a real desire to understand the systems, you know, how things work on a deeper level.
So it implies his humor isn't just off the cuff, maybe. It's informed by something more structured.
I think that's exactly it. Informed by this academic rigor, this understanding of history and policy.
So how does that connect then? The academic side, the history degree, the Kennedy School Masters.
Yeah.
How does that tie into his other passions, like his activism?
Well, it seems deeply connected. It all feeds into this coherent worldview, maybe. You see it reflected in the recognition he received, like the Peace Abbey Courage of Conscience Award.
What was that for?
It was specifically for his efforts supporting peace and social change. recognizing how humor and satire, you know, can be used to fight against destructive things in society.
So the award itself acknowledges the link between humor and social change.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is how his academic side and his activist spirit don't just run parallel to his comedy. They seem to actively inform it, make it sharper, maybe more pointed.
Using the platform for more than just laughs.
Right. To enlighten, to provoke thought, maybe push towards positive change. It really shows how humor can carry serious ideas, especially when the person wielding it really understands the systems they're talking about.
It's like he's making arguments, but disguising them as jokes sometimes.
That's a great way to put it. Cleverly disguised arguments.
Okay, so this brings us to perhaps the most direct engagement with the system he often satirizes. What happens when someone like Tingle, who's built this career commenting from the outside, decides to actually jump in? To run for office.
Yeah, that's a fascinating step, isn't it? Maybe the ultimate test for a satirist.
So what happened?
Well, Tingle is affiliated with the Democratic Party. And in October 2017, he announced he was running for Lieutenant Governor of Massachusetts.
Lieutenant Governor. So yeah. A statewide office, not just a local thing.
Right. A serious run, not just symbolic. He was trying to transition fully from commentator to, well, potential policymaker.
How do you think his background played into that? The comedy, the satire?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, probably. On one hand, huge name recognition, proven ability to connect with people, explain complex stuff simply. He could use wit, you know, maybe cut through political jargon, appeal to people's common sense, like his show title.
Be seen as an outsider, maybe?
Yeah.
Less political?
Potentially, yeah. That could be an asset. But on the other hand, politics is different.
How so?
Well, the very freedom satire gives you, being provocative, exaggerating, not being tied down by protocols, that's often the opposite of what formal politics demands.
Needs a more measured approach.
Exactly. Campaigning means focusing on specific policies, maybe compromising. You go from being an observer of the whole thing to a direct participant under intense scrutiny.
So that it would work out for him.
The source material states that in the Democratic primary, which was held September 4th, 2018, he was defeated by Quentin Palfrey.
Yeah.
So his time actually running for office was relatively brief, but it really underscores his commitment to civic engagement, doesn't it?
Definitely shows he was willing to put his hat in the ring.
Right. And the insight might be that while humor is powerful in public discourse, opens doors, builds bridges, electoral politics often requires a different kind of game plan, a different persona even. And maybe that shift isn't easy or even desirable for every satirist. His run was maybe less about winning and more a statement about that line between entertainment and civic duty.
Wow. What an incredible career to unpack. It really does defy easy labels, doesn't it? From late night TV to Harvard, stand-up, owning a theater, running for office.
It's masterclass in versatility, really.
And purpose, too, it feels like. He didn't just do different things. He seemed to connect them with his consistent voice, this underlying goal.
I think that's the key takeaway. His journey really shows how one person can use all sorts of platforms, entertainment, education, business, even politics, to engage with the world and push for change.
Yeah.
He demonstrates the power of humor, especially, you know, when it's backed by real intellect and a sense of social responsibility. How it can resonate, start conversations, stay relevant for decades.
It's proof that an authentic voice, if it's driven by purpose, can make a difference across so many different areas.
Absolutely. So maybe the final thought for everyone listening is this. In a world that feels so serious, so divided sometimes, what's the unique power that happens when you combine humor, critical thinking, and actually getting involved civically?
Mm.
How might that combination inspire change or just better understanding in our own communities? And maybe think about your own passions. What unexpected places could your voice make a difference if you connect them to a larger purpose?